Hello, everyone, and thank you for being here. This is Marianne D'Ambrosio of LeadOutLoudNow.com, and I want to welcome you to the Leadership by Conscious Design interview series. I created or designed this leadership series for individuals in corporations and in business who realize there's a shift taking place in the world and see this shift as a call to action or an opportunity to nurture and lead others to their greatness. This leadership series is about being an authentic leader, and it's exactly the type of development I craved and searched for in my corporate career. You can view this series as The Insider Secrets to Great Leadership. The leaders that are part of this program are authentic, the real deal. They're heart-based individuals who lead by example and walk the talk. In this series, you'll learn what's at the heart of great leadership and how this can increase your leadership potential by building your confidence, clarity, communication capability, and, of course, strengthening your connection with others. After listening to this series, you may also find an inner peace that will guide you during unsettling times and take you to another level of self-awareness. Today, our guest is Andrea Wolf. And let me tell you a little bit about Andrea. In 1995, Andrea Wolf reached a turning point. After 25 years in the corporate world, she discovered the coaching profession and knew immediately that it was the contribution that she was here to make. Thousands of clients have relied on Andrea's heart-based wisdom and ear for clarity to help them discover meaning, purpose, and passion in their life. In addition to her coaching, Andrea is a trainer and speaker, and her first book, Ignite Your Life, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be, will be out soon. So welcome, Andrea. I'm so glad you're able to join us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me here today, Marianne. I'm delighted to be here. This is one of my absolute favorite topics, so I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you and your audience.
Thank you. Can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yes. I have been a coach for over 14 years, and I've been working with individuals who want to take their life to a next level. It's usually their professional life that begins the process with me. And also, I go into companies, and I coach always the owner, founder, leader of the company, because whatever's going on in the company usually starts right there. And then the more visionary that person is, the more teams they let me work with, the management teams and the sub-teams, so that we're all in one conversation. So in more recent times, with my partner Don Osborne, we've created a website, wakeupabundant.com, which is all about abundance practices in every area of life. And abundance, of course, is one of the key pieces to business. It's the bottom line, after all. But, of course, there's much more to abundance than just money, and that's true also in business. And when we have a dynamic, happy, healthy team, then the sky's the limit. And when we don't, of course, there's a lot of struggle involved. So one of the key areas that I work in all the time is this area of leadership, because there is actually often nowhere to go learn this stuff. So I'm really excited to be sharing some ideas and concepts today.
Wonderful. And you work with so many leaders, and you've seen probably so many different styles, Andrea. What's at the heart of great leadership?
Well, the first word that comes to mind is trust. One of the hardest things for people to do is trust, especially if they're not very clear and confident about themselves. So one of the things that I work with people on is to what I call be that which they want in others, which means lead by being trustworthy yourself and then invite your team to be that with and for you too. It's really important. Without trust, trust is foundational. Everything else is really one big mess and one big struggle. So creating trust is really important. And the second skill in a leader is that ability to build trust in his or her team. Now, that's a process, and we do live in a soundbite society now. We want things now. We want them quickly. I believe that trust is earned. it doesn't, you know, me saying to a client, for example, trust me, sounds really great. However, that's going to happen over time when they see who I am, how I show up again and again and again, and gradually trust is built. So building trust with a team takes time. So the next important thing about really at the heart of leadership is treating everyone respectfully. Now, this may sound so simple and way too obvious, but I have to tell you that I'm often invited into teams that are very upset with each other. They have a lot of stresses. Perhaps one or more of them aren't performing up to par. And there's lots of historical stories that they're dragging around about each other. And so this thing about treating everyone respectfully is very often one of our biggest challenges. One team that I was brought in to work with, you know, the, all leaders in the firm, they work with clients with high net worth and institutions. My first meeting, all men, they were amazing. I mean, they were like spitting each other in how they were speaking to each other. Mm-hmm. And they had no idea they were doing it. So whilst they resisted me wanting to start with working with them on communication, I said to them within 3 weeks, that's what we would be working on. And indeed we were, because this respect thing is very important. Once we're treating each other respectfully, everything else can open up. My next thought on this is what I call the three C's. True leadership in a true leader, the true leader is calm, clear, and consistent. You know you can count on them in the eye of the storm to be that rock of Gibraltar, to be that solid voice. You know you can depend on them and count on them and go to them in times of confusion, chaos, or stress. Mm-hmm. A true, great leader easily inspires and motivates. So, in other words, one might think that there's a lot of sort of self-contemplation in a leader, and to some degree there is. They've done inner work and preparing to be great leaders. However, a true leader is focusing out there on serving his or her team and is able to, it's not usually one size fits all with individuals in a team, so individually inspire and motivate the team members. Usually great leaders are powerfully committed to what they're doing, and they then engender that in their team. So they're not wishy-washy about it. They're very decisive, great, powerful leaders, and even if they're off track, they live with the consequences. That's a major quality in a powerful leader. So they're clear, decisive, and committed to what they're up to. And then the next point is, because they're so okay with themselves, they're secure and confident, they surround themselves with strong leaders. So often I've gone into companies where the opposite is true. The head of the company is strong character, strong leader, and they've surrounded themselves with weak leaders, and they're very frustrated. They want them to be more like them, but they hire differently, yeah? So then if we follow this logic, they're great interviewers. They know they're looking for strong leaders. They're really good at team building. Now, again, in my experience, most of us have nowhere to go to learn this, how to hire well and how to then have everybody get along in the sandpit together, like really play nicely together as a team. There's very few places to go and learn this stuff. And like I said, the leader has a very strong sense of himself or herself, so they don't need to have ego. They can be very humble and yet clear and decisive because they're secure and confident.
Go
ahead, please.
Well, I was as I'm listening to you, Andrea, I'm hearing how it's so important to become a leader in your own life first before you can lead others.
Right. Well, yes. So authenticity is name of the game. It really helps if you're walking your own talk for others to follow. You know, like the Pied Piper. You know, if the Pied Piper really couldn't play the music or was tripping every step or something like that, then there might have been less followers. So it's really important to be authentic. And it's not necessarily about knowing everything about leadership, but it is helpful to have some experience. So even if, let's say, you're an up-and-coming leader, to go volunteer somewhere for a charity of your, you know, if you, that meets with your passions, and take a leadership role over a team, that's rather like herding cats. So it'll be great experience because, you know, when you're managing volunteers, it's all too interesting, right? They don't necessarily work for you, but it's great experience. So I really believe it's important if you want to grow is to go find opportunities to lead teams. Even if you go sort of work with kids, you're kind of managing the kids. So as you do that, you see, there's no way to get to know yourself in that position if you haven't actually done it. You can sit and read books. You can listen to tapes, CDs. I'm dating myself with the tapes, of course. You know, you can do all this study stuff, which is vital and important and essential. However, it's in the doing of it where you really get to learn about what your management style is. So an interesting thing idea is here that leaders can come from surprising places. It isn't necessarily the highly experienced but necessarily the best leaders. They may have really, quote, bad habits. So, you know, if I could just share a story. In my last job, which was in a multinational corporation, there was a young man by the name of Tony who joined the company in the mailroom. And this young man came, you know, he shared stories about his background with me. He came from nothing, really. He came from a very poor background. He came to work every day in a pressed white shirt, pressed pants, and a very neat tie on every single day. And he had a ready smile for absolutely everybody he was delivering mail to. And he was paying attention. So as he was going around the company, he really got to know an awful lot about all of us. So gradually, he was starting to gently, very humbly, because he didn't consider himself a leader, start to make suggestions. Before we knew it, he was hired into the IT department, which was starting to grow, and he was answering the phone at the IT service desk. And he was great at it because he was so wonderful with everyone. And then, in a very short space of time, he was actually promoted to getting out and being face-to-face with the internal customers around the company, actually servicing them with their IT needs. And then, very soon thereafter, he was promoted into a leadership role in the IT department. And really, you know, when everyone looked back at it, we could all see those signs of leadership in him when he was this young man in the mailroom. So leadership can happen anywhere, and I encourage everybody I work with to show up as a leader. I was working with an accounting department of a very large real estate firm, and I was working with the management team in one group and everybody who reported to all of them in another group. In that second group, in the first meeting, I was asking everybody to introduce themselves to me and tell me what they did there. And we went around the table and we came to the young lady who said, and I quote, "I'm just the receptionist." Mm-hmm. And to cut a long story short, I helped her see that not only was she not just the receptionist, and she also, by the way, was the newest person in the team and thought she didn't know anything. I helped her see that, number one, she had fresh eyes on everything, being the newcomer, so she had lots to contribute. And there was no just to her being the receptionist, because the receptionist is absolutely the most vital person in the company. They're the first line of contact with everybody coming into that company, either by phone or walking in the door. So she grew a little taller, and she grew a little more confident, and in the ensuing meetings really participated, which she wouldn't have done otherwise. Leadership is inside each one of us if somebody just takes the time to bring it out in us.
That is so true. And It's incredible when an individual is like yourself to the woman who thought she was just the receptionist can comment and provide her with additional insight that just, you said she grew a little taller.
And, she did.
And, you know, she stood so much more in her, truly in her power and knowing who she was. So how wonderful is that?
Exactly. Oh, wonderful.
And, you know, there's so much change going on in the world right now, and it really is no longer business as usual. So there is an immediate need in corporations and in business for conscious leadership. Andrea, what's your definition of a conscious leader?
Okay, so the first thing I would say, because I encounter this so rarely, it's amazing to me, but most companies I go into have no vision whatsoever. They may have tactical goals, in other words, numbers, but most companies have no vision whatsoever, like what they're doing it for, yes, what they stand for in the world, what the vision is, where they want to be in 3-5 years. So one of the true elements of conscious leadership is understanding the vital importance of creating vision within the team. And not only that, but also then the next level down, sort of the more strategic level, and then the next level down to that is tactical. Now, most of us are operating at tactical level. We're bouncing like ping pong balls, highly reactive versus proactive. So when we pause and invest the time and the energy to create vision, we're doing it the other way around. And so we're anchoring everything in vision. And I encourage leaders to actually get buy-in from right from the beginning by involving their team in the creation of the vision and then the strategic goals and then the tactical goals. Because if you do that, then they own it. And what we want is absolutely everybody in the team owning the vision, the strategic goals, and the tactical goals. Then you have a team that's on fire because they feel and literally are involved and are very connected to what it's all for. The next quality I would say about conscious leadership is be innovative. Be open to new ideas from many sources, and especially from your team. I can't tell you how often I see leaders who think they have to be the ones coming up with all the great ideas. And quite the opposite is true. Really powerful conscious leadership is about facilitating brilliance out of your team. They will veritably levitate off the ground, feel so great that an idea of theirs is being included and hailed as magnificent. And it's not about heavy lifting in conscious leadership. It's about causing this in others, causing greatness in others. I am a strong believer in using tools, whether they be books, tapes, CDs. I have something right on my desk all the time called the Creative Whack Pack, which is by Roger Von Eck, that's O-E-C-H. And he wrote an amazing book called A Whack on the Side of the Head. Now, this is just an example of a tool, but both the deck of cards and the book are all about looking at things in whole new ways. We tend to get very clenched, very kind of with blinkers on in the corporate world, and a true conscious leader will really bring out creative thinking and expansive thinking and promote discussion and debate, even disagreement, by the way, amongst the team, because out of that will come alignment. So I don't know if you've heard of the book, The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. It's absolutely an amazing book. And inside that book, and I've had many teams that are desperate and unhappy with each other start by reading that book, like looking for where they are in that book. And then we use it as a tool to then, investigate from. There's a concept in that book called constructive conflict. And one of the biggest challenges in teams is not being able to disagree with each other. There's the perception that if I disagree, there's going to be a fight or hurt feelings. So there's a lot of withheld communication in the corporate world. And one way out of that is to not only have it be okay to disagree with each other, like really push for it. Because they're out of disagreeing with each other, where then each of the team members has to make a case for what they believe would be for the highest good of the team. There comes respect, there comes dialogue, there comes listening to each other, there comes many, many great things that wouldn't happen without really having a team go for that. So a great leader, a conscious leader, will be not having it be all kind of calm and smooth all the time, but really raising tough questions for the team to address and solve.
Now, what's the name of that book again, Andrea?
The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, and the author's name is Patrick Lencioni, L-E-N-C-I-O-N-I.
Thank you.
So I believe that a truly conscious leader really cares about his or her team. And you can't fake that. Yeah, I don't think it's enough to just have lots of experience and be a great leader if you really don't care about your team. And then consequently from that, something that I encourage all leaders to do, because it's absolutely free, it doesn't cost anything except breathing and speaking, is to give tons of acknowledgement, be looking for every opportunity to acknowledge individual team members, and also give kudos to them. I have come across situations where leaders take credit for team members' ideas and accomplishments, and I strongly encourage them to stop doing that and to allow them to get the limelight, because from that, you're perceived as an even stronger leader. So looking for opportunities to acknowledge and give credit to your team members. A conscious leader doesn't arrive at a moment where they're in the lotus position and now we're done. We're here, we've arrived, this is it, and now we're done, we'll just maintain this. They're always looking from the point of view of how to improve, how to be more efficient or effective, how to deliver even greater service, perhaps to the external customers or maybe to internal customers or perhaps vendors. A conscious leader is really innovative in this sense, where they don't settle. They're constantly looking to how could we be doing this even better. And like I said before, they lead by example. So they're not just asking this of their team, they're doing it themselves.
So a lot of this, Andrea, sounds like it could be, you know, very serious business. How can leaders add humor and lightness to their leadership style?
What a great question. So, you know, we make up this story that business has to be serious and grim. But actually, there's no rule. I haven't found a book where there's a rule book, and it's written in that book that business must be grim and serious. Quite the opposite. I find that when people are having a great time in whatever they're doing, yeah, they tend to give 1,000% more. And so, you know, there are ways to do this. For example, meetings. I believe it's really important to meet regularly, so that there's no psychic ability needed within the team to know what's going on, so that you're all on the same page, so that you have this opportunity to contribute. So regular meetings are really important. However, there's no rule that they have to always be seated or the same every time. You could make them fun, whatever fun means for your team. You could rotate who's chairing the meeting, and that person, it's their job to make that meeting fun. And everybody will have different ideas for how to do that. Using fun tools, bringing in speakers, experts, create contests, use colorful stuff, you know, pens or objects. I'm a strong believer as a trainer to get people up and moving. You know, we tend to go into team meetings and sit down, but there's no rule that we have to do that. We could get up every so often and switch places. There's something called pattern interrupt, where you're literally looking at it from a different point of view by simply moving your chair. And most of all, I mean, a really important thing to do is to look for opportunities to celebrate together, celebrate successes, celebrate events. I'm a strong believer there's no such thing as too much fun.
In what ways can a leader engage people in their organization to be creative, flexible, smart, resilient?
Okay. Well, there are lots of ways. Let me give a couple here. So it's really important for people to show up like this, that they know that they're valued. You know, that may sound slightly odd, but it's really important when somebody knows how important they are and how valued they are within the team. they will be amazing. They will show up in amazing, amazing ways. They will bring all of them to the task at hand. So, and also, which is a slight variation on the same point, for each person within the team to know how they make a difference. I was working with an immigration law firm, and how the founder of the law firm, the senior attorney, had hired was he had hired people who each spoke a different language so that he could offer that amazing service to all of his individual and corporate clients. So there was always somebody who spoke their language on site, which was extraordinary, right? Mm. So here's what was going on, though. Not only did English was the common language, but nobody really understood each other. They definitely didn't understand each other's culture. And there was very little, quote, understanding going on. Also, the roles were not clear. There was a very unclear structure in terms of who was doing what and by when, very simply put. So before we got into, like, clarifying the roles, what I did is I had them in the conference room pick somebody they were going to acknowledge. And they all picked one woman who was like the angel of the law firm, and they acknowledged her first. And there was literally not a dry eye in the group when they did this. And week by week, we picked somebody new. So all of them were acknowledging that person. So they went from not looking me in the eye, don't pick me, to couldn't wait to get acknowledged by their team. By the time we had gone around the whole team, they were hugging at work. They were helping each other. They were like literally a transformed team, because rather than focusing on what was wrong with each other, which is what most of us naturally default to, they really now were clearly focusing on what was great about each other, how each one of them made a difference, how everybody was really like supremely valuable in that law firm. Once we'd done that, everything else was easy. We created a new structure for the roles within the law firm. We created new processes, and it was humming. I mean, then business expanded as a natural consequence.
That's such an inspirational story.
Mm. It was amazing to be part of it. If I may just add a little something to it, we then created the mission statement together. John, the attorney, had wanted to start with that, and I said, no, let me do a little work with the team first. So they all had an assignment to go away and put a list of words together that really expressed for them what this law firm was in the world, who they were for their clients and in the world. The following week, they all came back with their list. They all were very good students. They all did the assignment. And without exception, every single one of them had the word family in their list. This would never have happened if we had not taken the time to do the work first and get connected. So it was a very different mission statement they all came up with than it would have been if we had just done sort of the corporate thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, did you have the word family somehow in the mission statement?
Oh, yes. They were completely aligned on it. They all had that word.
Wow.
So they were a family helping families and corporations. Yeah, it was amazing, amazing mission statement.
Wow.
Yeah, really amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, so that's one thing. The clear roles is very important, where everybody knowing what they're there to do, how they interface with each other, that everyone's vital. And this is really a cultural thing, and it comes from the leader. If the leader is this and says, this is how it is here, then when you come into that team, you're going to either fit or not fit, and then either leave or be let go. Regular meetings, like I said before, there's nothing that replaces it. Consistency on this will really be the name of the game. But there's no rule that they have to be grim. Remember, they can be really fun.
Right.
With everyone attending, no excuses, everyone participating and being on time, and everyone contributing. So this is how everyone's on the same page. A metaphor I use all the time is a rowing team. So, you know, if you think of, you know, rowing teams and they're racing against each other, they make it look so easy and effortless. They put the ego on the side, outside the boat. They are all facing the same direction, rowing in the same direction as one. So they're barely creating a ripple in the water, and they're following the direction of the cox. When we take a hop, skip, and a jump into business, it's rarely that clear or that simple. However, it can be. It really can be. And when it is, when we leave our ego to one side and we understand higher good of the greater good of the team and what we're all doing it for, then it's easy and effortless. We'd stop paddling like in the opposite direction just because we feel like it and creating all these upsets and ripples, which is often what goes on in the corporate world. Yeah, so getting on the same page is not complicated. It just takes a few of these things.
Now, Andrea, to wrap this up, if you could just give new or aspiring leaders, new individuals to a company, some words of wisdom, what would they be?
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Number one, I am repeating this, but it's really important. Take time to do the inner work. Get clear about yourself. If you don't have experience to draw from, think about great leaders you've either known, you've worked under, or have come across in your life through books, movies, TV, etc. So think about what's great about them. If you could be like them, a great leader, what would that look like for you? Who would you be, and what would you do? See, there's two parts to this. It's the being thing and then the doing thing. How would you lead? What would you do, and how would you be? When starting with a new team, this is really important. Take your time. Get to know them. You know, trust is earned. Leadership, them accepting you as leader, is earned. And also, I strongly advise to get to know what preceded you. Now, not through gossip. I don't encourage gossip at all, but just getting informed so that you know what you're dealing with when you come in as a new leader. Engage your team slowly and bring them with you. Invite and welcome their input. And then, with their help, co-create your new team under your great leadership. Now, I just want to talk about a couple of abundance practices here as we're wrapping up, which is definitely in our Wake Up Abundant program. And these are two wonderful things. One is gratitude. You know, being grateful in any role that we're in, especially a leader, is a marvelous thing. When your team sees that you're grateful to be leading them, it is heart-opening. You know, gratitude is truly a heart-opener, and you're grateful for everything, how they're showing up and how they're helping you and so on. There's so many opportunities to show and express gratitude. And the second thing is reward. You know, we often forget to reward. And reward may be, you know, financial in nature, but not necessarily. A reward could be a little gift. It could be a special gift certificate for a dinner for this person and his wife. Or, you know, understand there's so many ways to reward. Reward can be verbal, too. So gratitude and reward will reap huge abundance inside your organization as you lead them to greatness.
Thank you so much, Andrea. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you too, Marianne. It's been a delight and a pleasure to spend this wonderful time with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, to learn more about Andrea and her work, be sure to visit her website, wakeupabundant.com. This is Marianne D'Ambrosio of leadoutloudnow.com, and thank you for listening to the Leadership by Conscious Design interview series. So long for now, and may the heart-based leader within you stand up and lead. Enjoy your day.